On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we look at what the Raiders' motivations are for bringing in Colin Kaepernick for the workout, and we talk about John Gruden's major win in his lawsuit against the NFL. We also rank the AFC West head coaches, and we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into the nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Both of us playing injured. I still have my same thing that's going on my back. And you, I guess it's not herpes if it's everywhere. Well, you got a lot going on your end.
It's rough. It's rough business today, man. It's going rough. I started feeling a little off on Saturday. Sunday, I toughed through maybe like three quarters of a show. And just haven't been getting any better. So today, I'm going to take an at-home COVID test. So please, go ahead and talk live on air. And we'll see how this works. I mean, I know how it works, but we'll see how it turns out.
So it's the one where you shove it up your nose.
Yes.
And you put it like in the fluid, right? And yes. You shake it up and you pour it onto a thing, right? You
drop it onto the testing strip.
It's like a pregnancy test.
I guess, yes.
So maybe if you don't have COVID, maybe you've got twins.
I got twin balls you can suck on.
Yeah, you can't be pregnant right now, Soto. So we're going to do that live. I guess we'll know within 15 minutes. Right. When I did that at-home test, it's like, all right, wait 15 minutes. I dropped the things on there, and like 5 seconds later, it was like bright dark lines. Like, oh yeah,
you definitely got it.
None of this, like, oh, it's kind of gray. I'm not sure. No. So question of the day. The over-under for the Raiders win total is out, and it's at 8.5. -125. Over-under at 8.5. You bet the over and the Raiders get 9 wins or more, you win. If you bet the under and the Raiders get 8 wins or less, you win. You take that nose thing like a champ. Well done.
Thank you.
So here's the question. How much are you betting on the over? Because no self-respecting Raider fan is going to bet the under, right? We're going to get at least 9 wins or 10 or 11. Go to the playoffs. Cause a stir. We got Derek Carr. We got Devontae Adams. We got Hunter Renfro. We got Darren Waller. We got Max Crosby. We got Chandler Jones. New coaching staff. New GM. Best fans in the business.
Newest stadium in the game.
Same old attitude. In the same old autumn wind. This time it's just blowing out of Las Vegas. Are you a big futures guy, Soto? You do a lot of you bet futures?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. How much are you betting this offseason on the over? How confident are you of getting 9 wins or more? Sounds like you're chopping up cocaine.
Yes, that's next. I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident we'll get 9 wins or more. Okay. I'll put a couple $100 easy.
Couple $100.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think, and this is the other part with betting, like all season long things, like betting like fantasy football, right? Everyone's like, oh, you know, how much should we bet on fantasy football? And I'm always like, let's just bet more because it's like a 14-week long bet, you know? Like if we're paying like $100 for fantasy football, it's like that's a $100 bet spread across, you know, 14 or so weeks. That's like betting, what, like $7 a week? Like it's like nothing, right?
Nothing.
So you could do like, you know, spend a couple hundred, spend maybe a thou, you know,
maybe go a thousand,
maybe go 4 figures on a full season bet, you know?
No.
All
right, here we go. It's timer starting.
All right. 15 minutes. Here we go. So how much would we bet? So this is what I've been trying to think is where are all these wins, right? Where are 9 wins? Can you guarantee 9 wins on this schedule, Soto? I mean, I think we got a couple. It's a tough schedule, right? AFC West is the best division of football, playing the NFC West, which may be the second best division of football. And then we have now a second place schedule, right? Our three other random games are all like higher, you know, better teams, right? Like we got Pats and Colts and stuff like that. Or Saints, right? So what are the nine easiest wins on this list?
All right, so
Jags, Texans.
Well, this is, let's start with this. Let's just start being conservative, okay? We'll start there. Yeah. And we'll go 3-3 in division. So let's just take those six games out, and we those are three wins, right? Let's just say we went 3-3.
Let's go conservative and say the Chiefs sweep us, we sweep the Broncos, and we split with the Chargers.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter which ones. This 3-3. So those are three wins. So we need to find six other wins in 11 games.
Okay.
No, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to win a little over half of our – so if we win half of our division games, we've got to win a little over half of our non-division games.
All right. So the Texans, the Jags, that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks, that's three. We're already halfway home.
Mm-hmm. Steelers.
Steelers, that's four. Okay, so we need two wins out of the rest of the games.
So Saints are going a big changing of the guard in New Orleans.
I mean, not necessarily. What's the big change? Jameis Winston started the season last year, and he was 5-2. I wouldn't say this as a big change.
Well, And
they have a really good defense, and they have more weapons now on offense.
Do you believe in this new coach?
Our old coach?
Yeah. what's old new again?
Look, they have the same offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Allen was the defensive coordinator, so not much is going to change, if anything at all, really.
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm not going to chalk that one down as an easy win, plus it's a road game. I'm not going to chalk it down as an easy win at all. What I will chalk down as an easy win is the Colts, because they're going to be at our home, and we're going to shove it right up, you know, Ngakwe's ass for talking all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five wins. We got one more win. One more win.
Colts, so, the Colts are, you're that confident on the Colts.
Yeah.
With Matt Ryan, with an actual, like, actual quarterback.
Yeah.
Obviously not a prime Matt Ryan, but.
All right, take that off. So there's four wins that we counted right there. We counted four wins.
Texans, Jags,
Sea Chickens, and Steelers. That's four. Steelers. So we have to win two against. Basically the NFC, Arizona,
the NFC West,
Arizona, Tennessee, Saints, Indy,
Pats,
Rams, and Niners.
Niners.
Two out of those seven games. I think we'll be fine. I'm not sold on the Pats, as much as people like to say, Belichick knows exactly what, McDaniels is going to do. McDaniels has been there for a long time. He understands how to move the ball against a Belichick defense. I think we're going to be okay there. Who knows what's going to happen? 49ers, if they go with Trey Lance, they could be a shitty team at the end of the year, or normally how they are is they get better as the season goes on.
Yeah.
They just happen to get the ball rolling. I don't know, man. I think our best chances are going to be the first couple ones. Like Tennessee, again, I mean, they lost a lot of weapons. Like, what weapons do they have besides their running game? Like, they traded away. Julio Jones is not coming back. A.J. Brown has been dealt. They really don't have much in the passing as far as passing attack goes. Their defense.
I would love to have the Tennessee later in the season when Derrick Henry gets beat up.
Yeah.
At least we are getting the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins still suspended.
Yeah, no Nook Hopkins there.
So that helps.
So the nine seems pretty easy, man.
Nine. I'm with it. I think we'll know, because there's just so many question marks in the division. I've said it so many times, right? Like with the Chiefs just like getting rid of pro bowlers because they need the cap space, brand new quarterback and coach in Denver. I don't believe in defense without Fangio. The Chargers are the Chargers, right? Staley's, other than being like a metrics guy and a media darling. Like, what's he like? What has he proven? Right. Mm-hmm. So like, look, that division is going to be weird. It's going to be great, but it's going to be weird. I think we'll know who the Raiders, honestly, I think maybe the biggest question mark of the division is the Raiders. I think they're by far the biggest wild card with whole new front office, new GM, new head coach, whole new coaching staff, whole new offensive outlook. Devontae Adams now on there. And honestly, like, how much can you look at last season and compare to this season when last season was freaking anarchy with Ruggs and Gruden and all that stuff? So we're a giant wild card. I think we'll know who we are by the bye week. We start out at Chargers, Cardinals, at Titans, Broncos, at Kansas City in primetime. I think after those five games, we'll know who we are going into the bye week, because that's a whole bunch of like great running team, great passing team, defensive stars on the Chargers. Like we should gauge who we are after five games, and we should be able to kind of more or less know who we're going to be this season.
Yeah, we'll get a good gauge on who we are and what needs to be cleaned up for the rest of the season push, mm-hmm. and if it's possible or not. If we go up there and there's just like huge gaping holes like your butt, and mm-hmm. it's just not, we can't fill them, it's going to be tough, but we won't know until we're out in the field.
Yeah, an unfillable butt. Mm-hmm. That's what I've written on my underwear. So that's the question of the day. Put it down in the comment section. We will pin it. How much are you betting on the over? All right, so the big news in the NFL today, Colin Kaepernick. How big is this news? We'll get to that. Adam Schefter tweeted out Wednesday, Colin Kaepernick, who last played football in 2016, the same year he started kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustice, is scheduled to work out this week for the Las Vegas Raiders, league sources told ESPN. And later that week, we found out later via Ian Rappaport, that was today, we're recording Wednesday night, he apparently already had his workout. So, Soto, what does this tell you? Not since 2016 has he played football. We saw how Mark Davis had mentioned 2 years ago that he'd be down to bring Kaepernick in and see if the coaching staff wants him and give it his blessing. He said it again just recently, and that made some headlines. And now he's at least getting a workout.
Getting a look.
It's not nothing. It's not, I mean, how big is it is the question, but it's certainly not nothing.
I mean, how big is it? Yeah, it's pretty big because he hasn't really had this before the season starts in a while. He's had some looks like during the season and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But those are just like, I mean, honestly, just token looks.
Yeah.
But when you look at the backup situation for the Raiders, it doesn't look great. None of these guys make you like, none of these guys scream that you're really confident in them to be able to, go one or even two game stretch and lead the team. So honestly, if he goes in there, Kaepernick pronouns, pal. If Kaepernick goes in there,
Cappy.
If Kaepernick goes in and he shows them something enough to be able to even give him a shot during camp or preseason or whatever, then I don't have a problem with it. If people want to blow up, all this off the field protesting stuff and make it, things that it's not still, I think that that's kind of going to get washed away a little bit.
It's funny because fans of the other 31 teams will want to talk about the kneeling, but Raiders fans are just like, all right, can you make the team better? All of a sudden we stop caring about all that political part of it and just be like, all right, what's he going to do for us? So the quarterback situation now, the Raiders just started their like true OTAs. We've got our depth chart at quarterback, Derek Carr, Jarrett Stidham, Nick Mullins, right? I don't think he makes sense as a backup. Not saying he can't play better than our backups. I think it's not likely he's going to be 35 this season and he hasn't played football in 6 years.
6 years.
So it's not likely, but certainly worth the workout. And what I've always said about backup quarterbacks, they should be two things. One, healthy, and two, be able to replicate the offense of the starter. So if you've got to come in mid-game, you can pick up the game plan and just go, right? That was obviously opposite of Marcus Mariota last season. Always hurt, and his game was, you know, super different. I don't think Kaepernick makes sense specifically for the Raiders just because his game is so much different than Derek Carr's. It's just, he's not a plug-and-play guy. Like, he's such a different style of player than Derek Carr, so he doesn't fit that criteria. Plus, we know why Stidham's there, because he knows the offensive scheme of Josh McDaniels. Like, our backup situation isn't awesome, but I understand why it is what it is. So I don't know. I just don't think he fits. I don't think he fits the Raiders right now.
Ultimately, yeah, is he a more mobile quarterback? Yes, but that doesn't mean he can't execute the offense that Carr, you know, Carr's style of offense either. Without calling those, you know, RPOs and things like that, it's mm-hmm. just a more mobile quarterback running that offense. It brings in a little bit of a different dynamic, but
that's never been Cap's strength though, right? Like pocket quarterback, really great pre-snap, like that hasn't been his strength in the past.
Well, that's why you have coaching, you know.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played in quite some time. That was the Colin Kaepernick we saw 6 years ago. Who knows if that's who he's going to be now? I don't know. So I mean, ultimately we'll know something for sure if he gets a look. That means he's probably looking better than a lot of people think, and he's probably looking better than Stidham and Mullins. Like, you wouldn't bring him in if he's like, okay, he's still by far the fourth quarterback out of these four.
You wouldn't bring the headache in.
Well,
that's why you bring him in for the workout, because I don't think anyone has any clue how good he is right now, right this second.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if they do invite him back, like for like training camp and stuff like that, he's shown something. Because they wouldn't bring him back if he was like the fourth out of the four.
So I've narrowed it down to three possible reasons why either Mark Davis or Dave Ziegler or Josh McDaniels or the Raiders in general, why they would bring Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. It's one of three reasons. One, they genuinely think he could help the Raiders be better, right? You're just treating him like any other player. Hey, we're always looking for a better backup quarterback. Maybe he can be the guy. Take a look at him. Two, kind of like, I guess for lack of a better term, like virtue signaling a little bit. It's like, hey, like, you know, we're so open. We back Colin Kaepernick up. This is a philosophy that we subscribe to. And we're going to send a message saying, hey, we're not going to let, you know, the drama about his last couple of seasons and the kneeling affect us. Like, this is the type of guy we want in our locker room, not someone we're going to push away. And three, and this is the one I think it is, just a giant fuck you to the NFL by Mark Davis. Just F you guys. Like, all the stuff you've put us through, and it worked out perfectly because it was John Gruden's hearing today, which we'll get to shortly, right? So they got, John Gruden got a win, and the Raiders got to flip a double bird to the NFL saying, oh, you don't like Colin Kaepernick? Hey, come on over, buddy. Here, let's get a private jet. Let's fly you into Vegas. Let's have you throw some balls around. Let's take some photos. Everyone think we're going to pick them up. FU NFL.
Yeah, that's probably the most likely of the three, but don't discount the second one.
And it could be a combination of the three as well.
Because,
but
you know,
I think the FU to the NFL is a big one.
Well, you know, I have all the stuff that, you know, the grumblings about the front office and Mark Davis, you know, that could be a good show to kind of force the hand. Okay, now I'm calling your bluff, NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm the only, you know, team that gave this guy a legit, or the last team that gave this guy a legitimate look to be on a team. Yeah. And you're gonna, you know, run me out, you're gonna get a lot more heat, basically.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
So we'll see what happens from it. Oh, all right. So we got a result. We got a test result.
I don't know if you can see.
You are not the father of your baby. I can't see.
Can't see anything, huh? Messed up. Well, it's negative.
Negative.
No COVID.
You do not have AIDS. Oh, COVID.
This is like the Geraldo Rivera. What was it? Al Capone vault.
Yeah, empty. Nothing in it.
Yeah, same
all shit. That drama, all that suspense, and you don't have COVID. Well, that's the other part too. Is like with COVID going on, everyone's like, "Oh man, I feel so sick. Like maybe I have COVID." And they're like, "You know, I'll take the test. Like, oh, thank God, I don't have COVID. I'm just bleeding from both eyes for another reason." It's like, no, it sounds like you have something worse than COVID. Like, there's a lot of worse things. Like, COVID's obviously bad, but there's a lot worse things you can have than COVID. I hear it constantly. People are like, "Oh yeah, I've been shivering in bed and shitting blood, but I took the COVID test, so I don't worry, guys. I don't have COVID." It's like, no, you've got something way worse.
Something's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard all this. Right. There's a bug going around too, and so I mean, that's probably what it is.
In other news, off the field news, but big news for the Raiders. John Gruden's pending lawsuit to the NFL, suing the NFL for, he claims he targeted him in releasing those emails, leaking them on purpose to get him fired from as head coach of the Raiders. He got a giant win today. Judge Nancy Alf denied the NFL's motion to, one, dismiss the lawsuit completely, which is kind of they're swinging for the fence. It's not a likely chance. And the other part is to not let it go to arbitration. So the NFL has this dog and pony show, this fake kangaroo court that they call arbitration, where Roger Goodell gets to pick the arbiter of their arbitration. So he literally gets to pick the guy who decides what's going on in the arbitration. And the NFL often wins this, and they're able to go to their arbitration. One, it's closed door, so you don't know what's going on. And Roger Goodell gets to pick the guy. Like, it's a kangaroo court. It's not real. Right, you're already guilty before you show up. This is big for the group, because now the lawsuit gets essentially moved forward as a genuine lawsuit.
Yeah, this is going to be a legit lawsuit on court TV. It's going to be freaking must-see TV. Mm-hmm. You know, the NFL is going to motion to get everything, you know, gag ordered and all that stuff, kind of like my prom date. Mm-hmm. And they're going to lose. Because
the NFL
is going to lose all this. Yes, they're going to lose all these motions because the NFL has now been left open to public scrutiny. It's like real public scrutiny for probably one of the first times in its history, because everything goes on behind the scenes and everything is like handled in house.
Yeah,
and even like Goodell is like the czar. He does whatever the hell he wants. Like you said. He picks the executioner. He picks the judge. He picks everything, right? He picks the jury. He's sometimes, like before the arbitrator, he was like the guy that was reviewing his own decisions, you know, for a few years. So this is one of the, I think, honestly, even though it's like a private company or a private entity or something like that, it's run on its own. It's not public or it's not anything that's like a government-wide, so it's not open to scrutiny. This is one of the first times that it's left itself open to scrutiny. And now they're going to, you know, I think that some of these practices that are being held by the NFL as far as selecting, you know, not, I wouldn't say that, but maybe some of the arbitration in the future is going to be held up to like a impartial third party.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of these unfair rulings that have been, you know, maybe levied towards certain franchises and favoritism towards others is going to maybe go away.
That's why I think there's 0% chance that this goes to trial or even like gets to discovery. They're going to settle because they don't want this getting dragged out, right? They don't want the discovery motions to go through. They don't want to have to like unpack the other like 500,000 emails that didn't get leaked. Purposely on purpose or accidentally on purpose, right? Like Gruden's got him by the balls. All he has to do is get to discovery phase. He's like, all right, guys, just back up a giant truck and say, all right, fill this up with all the files that I want. I got 100 interns that are gonna go through all your dirty laundry, suckas.
If I was Gruden, I would be like, I'm not settling because he can't lose. Because it's not about Gruden and what he did, because that's already done. It's not about that. If there's one email out of those 650,000 emails that has something in it, there's your smoking gun, because that wasn't released. And the things against Gruden were released specifically.
I don't think Gruden wants to destroy the NFL. I think he just wants to save face and make money.
The only way he can save face is if he goes to trial and everything is put out in the open. That's the only way. If he gets paid off, he's just a guy that went, you know, for a money grab, and he's still a piece of shit. Now, either way, he's still going to be looked at as a piece of shit. But the only way that he can be kind of vindicated in a small sense is if the targeting of Gruden is put out in the open and all this other stuff is aired too.
But that could be part of a payoff too, right? Like, you can say it as part of the settlement, they have to admit, I don't know if wrongdoing.
They won't admit shit. If you're the NFL, you're paying so you don't have to admit anything.
But you can make it part of a settlement. Like, he can take less money, make it part of it.
I'm telling you, if you're the NFL, that's the last thing you want to do, especially with John Gruden.
But like you just said, though, if Gruden's guaranteed to win at trial, you want to do anything you can to avoid it at trial.
So throw a couple more zeros at him and say, you know what, I don't want to admit to shit. Here's $10 million more.
This is the biggest part for me, is that Judge Nancy Alf, she said this about...
First off, her name is Alf.
Alf,
which is amazing.
Isn't that awesome? 80s sitcom. You young kids don't remember Alf. It was such a not funny, terrible show in hindsight. But you got to remember, it was like the 80s where you only had like a few options of television.
Yeah, just like shitty one-liners and like real low comedy, like just very obvious shit. Yeah, but
it's like, it's the same as every single other comedy, except there's a Muppet there that says he's an alien. Like, other than that, it's like every other sitcom.
Yeah. That's like his diet, he eats live cats.
But anyway, the judge said she was concerned with the commissioner having the sole power to determine any employee disputes. That's the reason why I didn't go to arbitration.
That's why I said.
And that's what the NFL's been doing. Forever, yep. Right? Roger Goodell has been like, yeah, we'll just go to this kangaroo court. And this judge is like, nah, this is BS. Like, you need to go in a court of law. You can't have Roger Goodell decide all this stuff.
And that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying is now their practices are being put out in the open, even though people knew. But now it's in a legal sense outside of the NFL's control. And they can't pull all the strings anymore.
Yep. So, giant win for John Gruden. He said afterwards, he's like, all right, I'm going to go have some fun tonight and visit some friends, and end with Go Raiders. So he's in Vegas along with Colin Kaepernick. I wonder if they're going to hook up and party. Hit the Spearmint Rhino together and hit the craps tables. The
Peppermint Hippo.
That would be great. That's a TMZ story I want to see tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Kaepernick and Gruden partying. Kaepernick's partying because he got a workout. Gruden's partying because he got a legal win. A lot to celebrate in Vegas for those two.
All day.
So I've been thinking about the AFC West and the head coaches.
How do you know?
Yeah. So obviously Andy Reid's the Super Bowl champion, the guy with, you know, hundreds of NFL wins, both with the Eagles and with the Chiefs. The rest are all pretty giant wild cards. Josh McDaniels first year, Nathaniel Hackett in Denver the first year, and Brandon Staley his second year. None of Staley and Hackett have had, obviously, other than Staley last season, had never been head coaches of any football team at any level in their careers. Obviously, we know Josh McDaniels was head coach for 28 games when he was with Denver. But other than that, it's three super wild card type coaches where you're not really sure what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Denver, brand new coach, brand new quarterback. That Vic Fangio led defense. Fangio's gone, right? Can they maintain a decent defense without him? I've said multiple times how I feel about Brandon Staley, that he's just this like, oh, I'm all about metrics and I'm a media darling, but he's way in over his head. And then Josh McDaniels, who when he was head coach was terrible. It was a while ago, but his record as head coach is 11-17. Not great. So we may have to wash our mouths out. But I'm curious what your rankings are of the AFC West head coaches. You got to put Andy Reid number one. I think that's obvious. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
How would you rank the other three head coaches in the AFC West, Soto?
You just flip a car. Flip a coin, man.
Flip a car?
You flip a car, yeah. No, it's honestly, there are things to like, and there are things to be specifically be, you know, cautious of with each of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
McDaniels has, you know, he learned the hard way that you can't go into a situation like a lot of times the Raiders go into situations in the past, trying to outthink everybody and trying to, you know, go buck against the system and do things a different way. And instead of fine tuning what you currently have, he drastically changed that roster, getting rid of Cutler, bringing in Tebow, changing the way the offense run. And honestly, that was his undoing, because it got very predictable and Josh McDaniels didn't have the ability to put wrinkles into his system because Tebow was so limited.
Yeah.
So after that hot start, people caught up to it and it wasn't that hot after a while. Mm-hmm. So that's one side of Josh McDaniels. The other side of Josh McDaniels is he went back to the drawing board. He saw the error of his ways. He was made, you know, who knows how many conversations he had with Belichick about Belichick's first go around as a head coach and his, what he learned and what he did different, and what he subscribes to now. Maybe things make more sense. Mm. That's one thing I said before, is now he's looking, and when he went back to New England, he was looking through the eyes of a head coach and how a head coach sees and how a head coach runs a team and practices an organization and all that stuff, right? So it's a little bit different. So I can see both ways where it could be more of the same or a lot better. With Brandon Staley, you know, continue to be that idiot and that we all love. It costs your team probably around 4 wins, mm-hmm. because you're just, you know, going to not worry about the flow of the game and just, you know, worry about what the numbers say and go for it on fourth down on your own 30 consistently and put yourself in tough positions. If you learn from that and you have Justin Herbert being a year more experienced, a stronger offensive line.
And this isn't a list of like what their records are going to be next season, because I think Brandon Staley has the most talented team out of the four as far as like stars, right? Like,
impact players,
because they've got a, you know, Pro Bowl caliber quarterback on a rookie contract, so they can afford to.
It's close,
pick
though.
Up Khalil Mack, and it's close, but I would argue they got the most talent. But I can hear an argument for you know, for maybe the Raiders or Chiefs. But this is the thing. Everything you said is true about Brandon Staley. The other part is he's supposed to come in as this like defensive guru, right? Like he
was got worse. It got a lot worse.
Yeah, like,
and they were healthy. Like,
The Rams were number one in points allowed last season when he was defensive coordinator. Everyone's like, oh, Brandon Staley, he's a genius. It's like, you got superstars all over there, right? Like, you got
up and down that fucking defense.
That, like, you and I can be defensive coordinator for the Rams and still do decent, right? Like, that's how talented and loaded that they are. He comes over to the Chargers. The Chargers were 23rd 2 seasons ago in points against. Now they were 30th this season. 30th in points allowed. And one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. Awful. Like, he's supposed to be this defensive guru. And he made the Chargers defense worse with good players. Now, I can't imagine them being 30th this season with the addition of Khalil Mack and things like that. But, what are you adding? Like, what are you changing to this franchise to make it better? And the thing he's supposed to make better, metrics and defense, he's made worse.
Yeah.
I think he's the worst of the four. I think he's number 4. I'm confident in Andy Reid 1 and Brandon Staley 4.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not. Nathaniel Hackett looks like a cartoon character. He acts like a cartoon character to me. If I get hitting on Russ Will's wife, like right in front of him, oh man, I was more excited to meet his wife and all this shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying, dude?
That's the one thing I respect the most about him. I finally found something I like about this guy.
Oh, damn.
So again, first year as a head coach, former offensive coordinator for the Packers, Jags, and Bills. Last season, he was the offensive coordinator for Green Bay. And that's the other thing is, you were Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams' offensive coordinator. Yeah, you're going to look good. These are guys.
After all,
this is a tandem that made Mike McCarthy look like a good coach. Like, of course, Nathaniel Hackett's going to look like a good offensive coordinator with Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, how much do you need an offensive coordinator if you're Aaron Rodgers after all these years in the same system? You really don't.
And then, like you said, everything about Josh McDaniels is just the giant question marks. We know he knows the X's and O's. Can he be a good head coach? Did he learn from his mistakes when he was head coach in Denver? I don't know. So I feel like Nathaniel Hackett has the toughest job. Don't have a quarterback. Last season you were leaning on your defense led by Fangio, which you don't have again. I think he's just way in over his head. You don't even know who the owner of the team is. Like, so much is going on. There's so much attention, rightfully so, on the Raiders front office and all the craziness that's going there. No one knows who owns Denver. Like, no one knows who actually owns the Broncos these days. And he's got to coach under those conditions. So he might end up being a fine coach one day, but I can see this easily being like a Josh McDaniels situation where he just went into a dumpster fire of a situation, very underprepared, just not ready to handle something like this.
Yeah, when you trade all this capital for a not young franchise quarterback, and you have all these expectations where all they need is a quarterback, all they need to have all this other stuff, all they need is a quarterback, you don't have a ramp-up period. You need to hit the ground running. So, I could see him being gone after the first year.
And I want to root for him because he's from Fullerton. He was born in Fullerton.
He's a local boy.
Yeah,
he's also a freaking Bronco.
West Coast guys. I like
suck
to root for
suck
those
a
guys.
Dick. I'm not worried about him. It's a Bronco.
You ready to do some what-up winbacks?
Yes, sir.
First one, Jeff Garrison. This was our very first Super Thanks. Now on YouTube, you obviously have the Super Chats. When we're doing a live chat, you can, if you want your comment highlighted, you can drop us a couple bucks. We really, really appreciate it. And now they have what's called a Super Thanks, where even in the regular comments from a video that's done, you can drop us a couple bucks and highlight your comment and make sure it gets done. And Jeff Garrison, not a big surprise, because he always leaves a novel in every single comment section with his stuff. We love him.
At least one.
He was the very first Super Thanks that we had. Jeff Garrison, more is coming in the future when my plans come to fruition. In the meantime, these $2 represent back-to-back Las Vegas Raiders Super Bowl victories, 2022, 2023. Just win, baby. Just win the Super Bowl, baby. I can't think of a better way to spend $2.
God, Jeff.
Talk about Super Bowls.
You are a poet. You are just a romantic author.
Jeff Shakespeare over here. I'll take it. Right? Thank you, Jeff.
Cyrano.
Dutch Master 710. I said in my chat yesterday, my solo live chat yesterday, that people were talking about, oh, Derek Carr can't take us to the playoffs. It's like, he literally just did. He literally just did it last season. A dumpster fire of a season. He literally took us to the playoffs, right? So Dutch Master is responding, Carr wasn't the reason we got to the playoffs last season. It was because of Carlson, Jacobs, and the defense playing their ass off. Now, no team goes to the playoffs based on one person. Mm-hmm. No one quarterback has taken a terrible, terrible team to the Super Bowl. Like, name the last time name the last time a quarterback took a bad team to the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't happen. You need a full team. Mm-hmm. But to say that, our kicker and a running back that had a semi-off year and a defense that was below average was the reason we made it to the playoffs? Is the reason we made it to the playoffs? I mean, Carlson's clearly clutch, right? He definitely needed those field goals. Mm-hmm. Jacobs played lights out the last seven quarters of the regular season, which was great, which was big. And the defense had their moments, but I can't say that any one person, any one unit, more than Derek Carr, was responsible for us going to the Super Bowl or Super Bowl playoffs. I'm already thinking about next season.
Yeah. When you take a look at the last four games, 16, 17, 23, 35. Those are the points scored. So that's 20, 22 and a half, something like that, points a game. not great. Nope. Less than our season average. So to say that that last push was Derek Carr or more Derek Carr than anything else, I don't agree with that. Because the offense was a huge problem. Can you boil it down to one game and say Derek Carr is the reason why we beat the Chargers and not the defense? Of course, because the defense took a fat dump in the fourth quarter and overtime and allowed fourth down conversion after fourth down conversion.
Like 8 of 9 on fourth down conversions. And they were like fourth and 12s. Like it was like long ass ones. Yeah.
Poor Max Crosby gets a sack. Yes. That was third down. It's fourth and 15. Gable. Oh, never mind.
No, Mike Williams for a 22-yard catch. So well, I'm not saying that Derek Carr won us those last four. It's a total season effort, right? And if you remember the first six or seven games in the season, we could not win unless Derek Carr played lights out. Like it was not possible. We were like literally like we were like 6-2. Like if Carr threw for over 400 yards, we won. If he didn't, we lost. Like he literally had to be Superman early, and then not the case later on. So if you look at the entire season, I mean, to say Derek Carr didn't help get us to the playoffs, or like at least not a major, major reason, if not the reason, out of any other player.
Okay, now that's normally it. See, that's the thing. You're saying if he wasn't a major, major reason, if not the reason, like no. You can't keep blending that shit in because I'm not gonna say that Derek Carr was the reason. We went to the playoffs. I'm not going to agree with that because when we needed him the most, our offense scored, you know, the least points per game in any type of stretch that we had.
Okay, so which player was the reason, if not Derek? Which one player?
Why is it one player? It's easy to say one player because there's only one quarterback on the field. There's five offensive linemen. There's three or four main pass catchers. There's multiple running backs that play. There's multiple defenders on each position. So it's only one quarterback. So of course he's a person that can be highlighted, but the defense gave up 79 points, under 20 points per game average in those last four games. If you want to take a look at that last stretch, when we're backs up against the wall, we have to win these four. I would say the defense was something to look at more so than anything else.
For three games.
If you want to look at those three games, then it's well under 20 points per game.
And it's the defense for those three games. And it was Derek Carr for how many other games? A lot more, right?
Again, you're saying Derek Carr because he's the only quarterback that's out there.
Yeah. And he played lights out for long stretches.
All right. So I'm not gonna say that because I like how you're very sneaky. And you say, okay, he's one of the biggest reasons that we made the playoffs, if not the reason. Like you gotta sneak that in there to make it what you actually want to say, which is the reason we made the playoffs.
Well, no, I got your answer. We're like, he's a big reason, but you don't think he's the reason. I genuinely want to know where you stood.
No,
I'm so very curious.
That's the main thing is, and people are tired of me saying this, but I'm gonna keep harping on it. You can't be that this is the main reason why we made the playoffs when you're turning the ball over just as many times as you're scoring touchdowns. That doesn't equate.
This what up windbags, this response was to me saying to the other people that are saying, I forgot the exact who it was and what the exact question was in the chat, but the chat was like, if Derek Carr plays like he did last season, like we're just not gonna be able to make it to the playoffs. And I'm like, he played exactly how he played last season, and we went to the playoffs. It's like you're pretending like he can't accomplish, like, oh, he's, you know, everything has to be perfect for Derek Carr to take us to the playoffs. Nothing went right for him last season, and we went to the playoffs. So, like, that more than anything, that narrative that you have and so many other Raider fans have, it's like everything has to be exactly perfect for Derek Carr.
No, I never said that. You're going way too far.
Clearly not the case because it was a dumpster fire last season, mm-hmm. Lost his coach, lost his number one receiver, didn't have Waller for 6 or 7 games. O-line wasn't good. Defense was below average. And we still went to the playoffs. So, yes, Derek Carr can take us to the playoffs when not everything is going right.
Correct. So I can also kick a basketball through the hoop from half court it doesn't mean it's the most probable way to do it.
That's such a stupid analogy.
It is not. Just because it happened one time, things the only starting quarterback that we
he faced took us the in last 2016. Month, he took us in 2016, even though
it's a totally different roster, completely different roster than what we have now. If you're trying to tell me that everything's going to fall into place for us the last month of the year, where we don't play any really starting caliber quarterbacks the last month, except for the very last game, and it's a shootout that could have gone either way.
Who started for the Browns when we played them?
Fucking who did Keenum? Case Keenum? It wasn't Baker Mayfield.
I thought Baker did play.
I don't think so. I think it was hurt.
He did play. I think he didn't get to practice because of COVID. Oh. Because remember, that's when the NFL literally changed. So we
get a broken down Baker Mayfield.
The NFL, remember, they literally changed the rules that week about COVID to be able to let all these Browns players play? Or was that the Colts?
No, that was the Browns.
It was the Browns?
I'm fucking medicine headed up. The thing I'm trying to say is things really went in our favor the last stretch that we needed to win those four games in a row.
And my point is everything else in that season didn't go our way.
But you can't, dude, look, you can't, you're trying to say all the stuff that happened in the beginning of the year is fucking us up at the end of the year.
It does. It already absolutely mattered. Yeah, it already happened, but it had reverberating effects. It's not like, you know, Henry Ruggs goes to jail and everyone forgets about it.
I think you're overplaying that.
Absolutely not. Yes, the shit this team went through.
Dude, they went through it and their record went through it. Their play went through it.
Yeah, because they rose to the occasion.
Look, is Derek Carr a galvanizing figure on the team? Did he get everyone to play together? Yes. Now, as far as that goes, I can see where Derek Carr's leadership helped this team make the playoffs more than his play did. 100%. Because his play was not great. No, dude, his play was not great. If you really want to deep dive into this, we can take a look. And one of the things that we talked about was how many times he was turning over the goddamn football, even though we were winning games. And we're like, dude, we can't keep winning games with Derek Carr flipping the ball to the other teams and throwing the ball away multiple times, not just once, but multiple times every single week. That's not a narrative we can't change. So to tell me that his play was one of the reasons why we made that last stretch to go to the playoffs is complete bullshit. A lot of things went in our favor, and I think our – dude, you're so far up your ass right now.
He carried a dumpster fire on his back into the playoffs.
Oh God, dude. Yes, and we should freaking put a statue to Derek Carr in his last season because he did the impossible and this and that. Dude, look, was it improbable?
Yes. If you want to do a statue, I'm not going to stop.
Was it improbable that we made the playoffs last year? Yes, it was more so to his leadership than his play, because his play the last stretch of last year was not great.
What would which stance of the statue of Derek Carr would you want commissioned? A flex.
Let's take a look.
High five
if you want to go in here.
We can move.
No, you said this. You said it. So let's see. It was his play. So let's take a look. So when we really needed it, when we really need the last four.
You mean
games
no,
of
no,
year,
every single no, 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 no. Now you can't just take his no, his we, worst we know. Possible stretch and be like, okay, all right, no. Just look at his worst stretch and say how bad he is.
So that's the thing is, when we needed four wins in a row, he probably played his worst throughout the season. When we needed it the most, he played his probably statistical worst.
When we needed 10 wins to go to the playoffs, he gave us a bunch of great games.
You're changing the fucking perspective now.
No, you are. It's an entire season to get into the playoffs. You're like, nope, let's just focus on these three games when he didn't play well. It takes 17 games to get to the playoffs. And you're like, no, let's just look at the worst possible part of him and then say, that's
I'm not picking and choosing games, RJ. The last stretch, games in a row where our back's against the wall, we need this to happen to make the playoffs. What did Derek Carr do? Played his worst.
When we needed a quarterback to play for
17
games.
No, you can't argue that. You have to tell me. Yes, you have to. Can you agree with that, with what I said? When our backs were against the wall and we needed to win out, Derek Carr played his worst.
Yes. and his worst still got us those wins.
Okay, great. But it takes some shine off of what you're trying to say.
Last one, Raider Wolf. Why is there no mention of DeMarcus Robinson?
Because he's eh.
We really haven't talked about him at all, and that's kind of for that reason. So there's a lot of other like YouTube creators where it's like, hey, they pick up an undrafted free agent as their like ninth guard, and they'll tell you about it, right? They'll give you a breakdown. They'll do tape study, that kind of stuff. And it's great. I'm glad that it's great stuff. That's not us. We talk big picture. We talk big story.
We argue.
We argue, right? Like,
look, if I had enough time and I had the resources, I can put a mixtape together to make you think that Alex Leatherwood is the best guard in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That Alex Leatherwood and Brandon Parker are the best guard tackle tandem in the I can find plays to chop up. The issue is, how often does it happen? The consistency. And DeMarcus Robinson has just been he's been a guy.
He starts like half the – he only starts half the games when he was in Kansas City.
He was fourth option, fifth option, and he basically got his receiving yards and opportunities because the teams were hell-bent against taking away Kelce and Tyreek Hill and whoever out of the backfield.
He had 264 total receiving yards last year. Now, look – I'm intrigued because I guess you can make the narrative. It's like, all right, well, he was buried under the depth chart against, you know, one of the best passing attacks in football. But it's like, that's the same thing that's happening here. He's going to be behind Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow. So,
dude,
you know, when it comes to like backup positions, we rarely get into it because it's not 95% of you, I don't think, care.
Yeah, honestly, if you can play with Andy Reid, he'll get you the ball. He'll find a way to get you the ball and he'll find a way to have you succeed. If you get under 300 yards for an entire season, I'm not saying you're not good. I'm just saying that you just didn't warrant those level of targets.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us. I haven't been cranking out and editing and getting more like a lot of shorts.
Oh, you've been cranking out all right.
I haven't even been doing that. My back's been hurting so bad that I haven't like.
Your back? That's a freaking violent jerk.
Yeah. Well, that's how bad my back is, and that's how violently I jerk. The stranger's completely gone because it's my left arm that's destroyed. But I'm going to get back on it and get my shit together. And I'm just going to muscle through it and stop being a pussy. So we'll get more stuff out for you. More shorts, more clips, all that good stuff. This, I don't have to work this weekend. This, I promise you. I've got the time. Get injured. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you give us a follow on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And especially follow us on YouTube for all that bonus content. Until next time, later.